Moncrief on News Talk.
Time to look at stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan De Burka Butler joins us once again. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, so this is a curious story in some respects. This Italian anti-fascist is on trial in Hungary, accused of doing what?
Accused of causing trouble, basically. She's accused of basically being part of a far-left criminal organisation who went to Hungary specifically to hurt people who were neo-Nazi radicals. Okay, yeah. So this basically happened early in February of 2023, I think, actually, where this 39-year-old activist, a woman by the name of Ilaria Salas, she went to Budapest as part of a group of people who were there to counter-demonstrate at a rally by the far right. Okay, so she turned up at this. She's from Monza in the north of Italy. Actually had a look on Google Maps to see how far that drive would be, and it's quite a stretch, right? So she wanted to have been committed, and she might have got a plane, obviously, but she'd want to have been committed in order to go along to this. Anyway, the counter-demonstration and the demonstration was happening. There was a bit of trouble. There was violence at it, and people were hurt, right? And she was subsequently arrested. And she's been on trial, and there's been a couple of trial dates ever since. And gradually, you know, this story started out as a kind of a nothing, but gradually it's made its way into the Italian newspapers, partially because there was a photograph of her turning up in court, being in handcuffs and chains around her ankles. And the Italians didn't like that very much. So they began to sort of sympathise with her, and particularly her, people who would be followers of her on the left. So the reason we're talking about it now is because her case continued on Friday there in Budapest, but it's become a bit of a diplomatic problem now, right? So former allies, and they're still probably friends, Giorgia Meloni, who of course is the Prime Minister of Italy, and Viktor Orban, Prime Minister of Hungary, they would get along with each other. But Giorgia Meloni has intervened in this case and said, you know, you'd want to think about maybe releasing this woman, because first of all, the witnesses that you've produced have said they can't identify her. The people that she's alleged to have hurt can't identify her either. She's saying that this wasn't her at all. She's also saying that she hasn't been furnished with documents of the case in Italian, and that she shouldn't be held, and she should be let go.
Yeah, the ironic thing about that, like Meloni and Ilaria Salas would have nothing in common politically.
No, not really.
So I suppose fair. She's an Italian citizen, so the Prime Minister is fighting for her
yeah,
welfare.
Yeah, sticking up for her, and it's in a way, I suppose it's good that she is, because if she does go down for these charges, that is three counts of attempted assault, and as I said, being part of an extreme left-wing criminal organisation. I think they might have thrown in the criminal bit there. She could end up being in jail for 11 years. Now, an interesting sidebar of this is that the Italian Green and Left Alliance have actually nominated her as their lead candidate for the upcoming European elections. And should she get enough numbers and thereby be elected, she would therefore get diplomatic immunity and would, of course, have to be released. So that could be interesting. But it's funny the way, like, it's kind of started out as a bit of a non-event. Now it's become a diplomatic spat. You know, it could end up embarrassing Hungary if she does end up winning that election and having to be released.
Yeah, right. Greece, we're going to go to next. And this is a case where charges have been dropped against some Egyptians. What had they been charged with?
I should say before we get into this story that it only dawned on me about an hour ago that every single story is a legal story, by the way. So just to say that before we continue. This is a bit different, though. This involves a trawler that sank. You might remember it. It left Libya on the 10th of June last year, and it sank on the southwest, just off the southwest coast of Greece, on the 13th of June, 2023. There were seven hundred people on board from various places like Pakistan, Syria, and Egypt. 104 survivors were rescued, 82 bodies were recovered, and so that means that there's about 500 or so that still aren't accounted for. Obviously, they're presumed dead, but their bodies haven't been recovered yet. And it, as you can imagine, it was a big news story last summer, and most people probably remember it. Now, almost straight away, 9 people were arrested for the accident that happened on the boat, and they were all Egyptian men. And It went to trial, but it seems now that the case has been dismissed, and it was dismissed last week. And the reason that the judge dismissed the case and released these people said that they had no jurisdiction over this because the accident happened in international waters.
Okay.
Which I find quite interesting. And you could kind of leave the story there and just sort of say, okay, well, that's what he's found and he's let these guys go. And what I seem to think is a bit of a technicality, to be honest with you. But there's more to it when you dig a little bit deeper, right? So when the boat actually sank, or just before the boat sank, the local Coast Guard, the Hellenic Coast Guard, were called because they had been notified that there was a boat in trouble. Now, not from the boat itself, but from somewhere else. And they sent a helicopter along and another boat to try and help them. It appeared from their account, so from the Coast Guard's account, they say that when they offered to help the people who were navigating the trawler, that help was refused. Okay. The boat subsequently sank, and then as it was sinking, it took only about 10 or 15 minutes for it to sink, and as it was sinking they went in and they helped because it was clearly in distress after that. Subsequently, some newspapers did an investigation, and there might be a case to answer for the Coast Guard because some witnesses say that the boat actually went to help the trawler, but it made a mess of it and caused the boat to capsize.
Oh, God.
So this is another side of it as well. So as it stands, right, this whole thing is in limbo. There's no official account of how the boat sank or what actually happened. Now that these nine Egyptian men have been acquitted, essentially, they're not going to be blamed for it. So in conclusion, there is no conclusion as it stands. And I think this story probably has a little bit more to run.
And the Egyptian men have been freed, have they?
They were set free, but they were rearrested, right? And they're being held in detention. Now, obviously, the lawyers for these nine Egyptian men are saying that this is, quote, inhumane treatment by the Greek police. The Greek police are saying that they're holding them because their asylum applications, because they applied for asylum when they landed, are being processed. And in order for them to be processed, they have to remain in detention. That's what the police are saying. The lawyers are saying this is completely wrong. Police are saying we're holding them to process their applications and so they won't flee the country.
Right. The US, we're going to go to next. People will, some people at least listening, will remember Robbie Robinson and the band. Sadly, no longer with us. But as is often the case when wealthy people die, there's a court case.
Yeah, and this court case involves his widow and his three children. Needless to say, the three children weren't from this particular marriage. So Robbie Robertson was, as you say, the main man in the band, supporter of Bob Dylan and various different things, and a great band in their own right. And he died in August of 2023 at the age of 80. Now, he had met his latest wife, I'll call her, Janet Zuccherini, in 2017. And they're both Canadian. As far as I know, Robbie Robertson was Canadian. Anyway, both Canadian, fell in love. They moved in together in 2021 into a house in Beverly Hills worth $6 million. Okay. They bought it off film producer, music producer David Geffen.
Right, yes.
Very famous, of course. So they bought this anyway, and then subsequently they got married in 2023. Now, this was allegedly after Robertson had been told by doctors that he was likely to die soon from advanced cancer, and he wasn't very well at all. Now, when he died, there was a house, obviously, that the two of them were living in, and that house, as I said, was worth $6 million. So he had always told his children that when he died, the house would either be sold entirely to Janet Zuccherini, would be sold off jointly with her, or bought out from her. So the upshot of it is either they'd have the money or they'd have an asset.
Yes.
Now,
okay,
they're bringing a case against her because they're saying that she, towards the end of his life, put an amendment into his will which basically said that she was entitled to reside in the property until her death. And not only that, Robertson's children were required to pay the mortgage, property taxes, insurance, and half of the daily property maintenance expenses for the duration of her life. Needless to say, they weren't happy about that. So, as I said, they brought the case and they're basically saying that because of the drugs that he was on, he didn't know what he was doing, and she made him sign this amendment to his will, and he couldn't have known what was going on at all.
Yeah, okay. That's a difficult one to prove, I would imagine.
I think it probably is, all right, yeah.
Yeah, and that might actually go on for quite some time.
I think it could, all right, yeah, absolutely. That seems as if it will go on for a long time. So something that no doubt the gossip columns will get their teeth into.
Yes. Right, Australia we're going to go to now, though. I suppose this story could be anywhere in the world where X must answer hate speech legislation.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it so interesting. It's a really interesting case. This is an Australian judge has ruled that X is now subject to Queensland's anti-discrimination law, even though it doesn't have an office in Australia, right? So this was a judge by the name of Anne Fitzgerald, who basically said that X needs to answer a case that's been brought against them by an organisation called the Australian Muslim Advocacy Network. Okay, now, they're basically saying that a tweet that was published on X, sorry, yeah. I get confused between Twitter and X still,
yeah.
was put out by an American citizen, okay, and it linked to blogs that were anti-Muslim, okay, that did that kind of thing. And they're saying that particular tweet was then shared and commented on all over the world, including in Queensland, right? So they're saying that because it was published in Queensland and because it was, negative towards Muslims, that it broke anti-discrimination law in Queensland, right? Now, X are saying because they don't have an office there that, you know, they're not represented.
Oh, you can't touch us.
Yeah, you can't touch us. Right. Now, the judge has decided, well, yes, they can. Right. And in the ruling, it's very interesting. They're saying that X, it was present in Queensland because it provides a service in the state. And in her view, it carries on business in Queensland. And she's saying that the impugned conduct took place there, whether one terms it the impugned conduct an effect or actual conduct. So she's not bothered about who sent it and where it was sent from.
Yeah.
She's saying that it had an effect within Queensland and therefore they have to answer this case. They're not happy about it.
I'd imagine. But I suppose, you could argue it was published in
exactly.
If you can access it online. So will there now be some sort of court case ensuing from this, presumably?
I assume there will be. It's going to go, this ruling now allows the Queensland's Human Rights Commission to hear that allegation that they breached this anti-discrimination law because they refused to take it down. That was the main problem that they had.
Yeah.
So they were given a chance, take it down. They refused to, so it's still out there.
That seems to happen quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Right, South Africa we're going to go to finally, where Jacob Zuma has been barred from running an election.
Yeah, very quick one. These elections take place tomorrow, actually. So it could be quite interesting because the ANC looked like for the first time they might not get a majority. That's what the polls are suggesting. One of the reasons for that could be because Jacob Zuma actually isn't being allowed to run, right? So he was president, obviously, from 2009 to 2018. He was kicked out of the ANC party for various different corruption charges. And he was actually given a prison sentence back in 2021 for contempt of court, right? He didn't turn up to a corruption case and the judge said, right, you're in contempt, so I'm sending you to prison for 15 months. I think he only ended up serving 2 months of that. He got some sort of a pardon. But anyway, he's gone and he set up his own party, okay, called Ukonto Wusize, which is named after the military wing of the ANC, effectively, right?
Okay.
And even though he's not going to be able to run, his picture is going to be able to appear on the ballot paper beside other candidates who are running for his party.
Okay.
Right? They're polling at about 8% at the moment. Whether that will make them kingmakers or not is hard to say at this particular point. Mm. But interesting that he can't run. At the same time, he's going to be still highly influential.
He'll be behind the scenes. So it's probably looking like some sort of coalition government next time out, could well be. South Africa. That's interesting. What should we look out for over the next week or so?
So obviously there's those elections coming up in South Africa tomorrow. And then I believe tomorrow Harvey Weinstein has a hearing in New York.
Is it about
dropping the charges?
I think it is about dropping the, I mean, he's in prison anyway, but it's about dropping those particular charges.
Okay, yeah. Saturday, Rupert Murdoch is getting married for the fifth time. So there you go. And then on Sunday, there's presidential and parliamentary elections in Mexico. And we could be looking at the first female president in Mexico.
Ooh, indeed. And a small bit, I see international breaking news there, Pope, or at least the Vatican has apologised for apparent homophobic comments made by Pope Francis. We'll hopefully the news or at some later point on maybe perhaps in the Howard Show we'll find out what that's all about. In the meantime, Jonathan de Burka Butler, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.